Listen to you today. Acts chapter 27, verse number 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoist up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Again, verse 41, and falling into a place where two seas met. If the Lord would stand by me today, I'd like to try to preach on moved, but in two directions. Moved, but in two directions. I remember reading once that a man's life consists of three parts. A man's life consists first of dawn, secondly day, and then last, dusk. The dawn of life is the youth of life. The day of life is the prime of life. And the dusk of life is the evening, or the last of life. May I say to you here today that whether you find yourself in the dawn of life, in the day of life, or in the dusk of life, no man is exempt from this place in life of where two seas meet. No man is ever exempt from this place in life of where these two cross currents of life, if you will, come to oppose each other. The figure here that is used of where two seas meet, it's indicative of a place there in the sea of where two currents cross, of two rivers that poured out into the expanse, or the expanse of that ocean there, or that sea, of where those currents conflicted and they run into each other. If you and I will be very honest in life, we will find that many times when we find ourselves in a quandary of indecision, when we find ourselves in a place that we really do not know which direction to take, and we really do not know which choice to make, it's because we have found ourselves at that place where two seas meet. We find ourselves sometimes in you that are still young. You are at a very precarious place. You young people, you young men, you young ladies, you are in a very, very difficult hour in your life. At youth, you find yourself in that place where two seas meet in life. And you're pulled this way, and then you're pulled that way. Will you say amen? We find that the temptations of youth are specious temptations. The temptations that come to young people, we many times when we get older, we overlook the difficulty of what young people go through, and we fail to remember that one time we were young. But may I say to you, young person, that when you're in the place where two seas meet and the tempter is pulling you this way and wrong says do this, but right within you says hold steady. May I encourage you here today to hold steady to the compass of conviction. Hold true to what you've been taught, and do not allow the place where two seas meet to wreck your craft and destroy your life while you're young. I've known of so many people while they were in those adolescent years, in those young, fragile years, they got caught in that place where two seas met, and they got off course, and they got away from God, and they made shipwreck of their soul. So may I say to you young people today, while you're young, hold steady, hold true to the compass of your conscience, and do not allow the temptations and the allurements of life to draw you away from God. But then I move to the day of life, the prime of life, those middle years, those years of when a man is at his best. And with poetic imagery, in Psalm 91, the psalmist warns us of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I must also be careful, and I also must be warned, as well as you, that when we get to the prime of life and the best of our years, we still at times find ourselves in a place where two seas meet. We find ourselves in a quandary of decisions. And I look across the congregation today and I see some of you are in time of transition and you're going through elements of change in your life, in your vocation, and in your ministry and things. May I say the devil would like nothing better than to catch you in that place where two seas meet and wreck your craft. Should I do this or should I do that? Should I stay or should I go? Should I remain or should I pursue? And many times there are such conflict of interest in our life that we stay at that stalemate of life and we somehow or another miss out on what God intended and we fall short of the purpose that God had in our life because we run aground and we got stuck at that place where two seas met. Amen. And so not only to we, to myself, and to you that are of my age, but to you that have reached the dusk of life, you that have reached the end, it seems, you're at the very last of the day. Your days are numbered. Your years are short. Oh, my friend, even that person must be careful of the place where two seas meet. I want to say this, and I want to say it carefully, but I want to say it, and I mean what I'm saying. If you will allow the expression that we've heard many times, there's no fool like an old fool. And I'm not trying to say anybody here today is a fool, but I do want you to understand this, that the devil takes special glory in tripping up somebody that's been around for years. Oh, hell has no greater joy, and the devil relishes nothing more than to take someone that's been right among the holiest people for years. Amen. That's been among the household of faith and been with the people of God, to take that individual who has earned respect and who has been revered and has done great things for God, but in the last years of their life, they reached that place where two seas meet. Are you going to help me while I preach? Amen. Do you understand that even in old age, you are not exempt from temptation? You are not exempt from temptations of the flesh, from temptations of the carnal mind. You can just become careless and carnal, lethargic and unconcerned till you think you've already passed all the tests. You've already made a good grade. And you can just sit back and throw it to the wind and coast right on in. But the devil's got a cross current. The devil's got a trap set for you. I tell you, my friend, the gate has not shut behind any of us. We've got to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Don't ever think you get to the place where you've got it made, because yonder somewhere is a place where two seas meet, and you've got to be ready lest you lose course and run aground. Amen. I remember reading once of a young man who was, as his biographer called him, a signal failure. And he used those words, signal failure, because he said this person possessed such potential. They possessed such promise. But they failed. And they were a signal failure. In other words, above their life, above the wreck and ruin of their life, was a buoy that said, there's a wreck there. I've seen them many times. By the color of the light, you would know that there is something treacherous beneath the water. There is a hidden wreck. There is the remnants and the remain of a ship there. Sunken promises, sunken potential. Amen. Drowned lives. Something that might have been, but because it erred from the course, it is now a signal of failure. I do not want my life, amen, to be one that is a signal of failure. Do you? I come to that place in life where two seas meet. I've come to that place in life where the currents of life cross each other. I'm at that place of where I must go one way or the other, and I am torn in between. And because of my indecisiveness, because of the lack of determination, and because I walk in purpose, and because I do not have the fortitude to make a choice, I am torn apart at the place where two seas meet. And this biographer says of this man that was a signal failure, he said, his life failed to ever get in the right direction. And the promise of his earlier years remained unfulfilled. And the truth is that he lost the motive power of the highest good and the noblest ambition, which of course was his faith. And having lost his faith, he became harassed by the gales and storms of doubt and uncertainty, and his life drifted aimlessly to nowhere. When my eyes fell on those words, he drifted aimlessly to nowhere. Will that be the sum and the sentence of your life and mine? Because I've come to that place of where two seas meet, because I've come to that place of the cross currents of life, I just cannot have the resolution or the made-up mind to choose the right, and I'm constantly drawn to the wrong, so I lack that noble ambition of faith, and so my life is just left to the wind. My life is left to the waves, and I drift aimlessly to nowhere. John Bunyan, he wrote a fit figure of that man, and he called him Mr. Facing Both Ways. The man that wants to look both ways at once. You know, I feel like I've pastored him for years. I feel like perhaps I've pastored a Mrs. Facing Both Ways. The person that sits on the pew that somehow wants the best of both worlds. Amen. It may get tight before I get done this morning, but it'll be right. The individual that comes to the house of God, amen, and you want to feel the presence of God. You want to enjoy the things of God, but yet also there are things in your life that are drawing and trying to win you back to this world. You are at that place where two seas meet. Amen. You're drawn both ways. You are in that suspense of the soul. It seems like you are forever in the balance. Amen. You're drawn here and then you're drawn there. Something pulls you forward, but then something tries to win you back. Are you going to shout amen this morning? And you're at the place of where the rivers meet. That is a historical and geographical expression, where the rivers meet. In the northeast, in the eastern colonies there, in Pennsylvania, there is a place where the rivers merge. And so that's an expression of the geography there. Go to the place where the rivers meet. And may I say, I can take you to the place where the rivers meet. And I can show you where many lives have been lost. I can show you where many hopes have been dashed. I can show you where many dreams have been destroyed. Because somebody did not chart and keep a good course when they came to the place where the rivers met. And they did not have a made-up mind to serve God in that place where the seas met together, and they run aground and they lost their soul. I'm in James 1, and then I'm in 1 Kings 18, and then last I want to look into 1 Timothy 1. So I've got quite a bit of preaching to do. My message today will cover this. I want to preach to you concerning the dilemma of the unstable. Then secondly, I want to think of the delay of the uncertain. And then last, I want to preach about the destruction of the unbeliever. So then 1 James 1 and 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So there you see it, the dilemma of the unstable. That man who is always wavering from faith to what? What is the enemy of faith? What is the contrast of faith? The contrast of faith is none other than flesh. Amen. You see, if we are in the flesh, we cannot please God. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. It is at enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans chapter 6. Amen. So here in James 1, I want to show you two things. I want to show you that the flesh never wins. I want you to understand that is one opposing force. Amen. To our spiritual life. Amen. That is an enemy of our soul. It's the flesh that would try to draw us. Oh, but thank God, though there is the flesh to contend with, amen, there is the faith of God that will hold me. Amen. I don't have to be drawn by the flesh, but I can hold to faith. I don't have to be lured away by flesh, but I can be helped by my faith in God. And so James here warns us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That man that constantly goes from faith to flesh. The man that constantly goes, if you will, from faith to fear. The man that constantly goes from having faith in God to leaning on the arm of himself, either because of fear or self-will. He cannot keep his trust in his heart in God. He's always wavering. He's always driven. He's always tossed. He's this way and that way. The nautical term is in stays. In stays. In the scripture here it says that he is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. The expression is in stays. What it means is in regard to a ship that has sail and tackle. When that sail is first run up, for a moment there the ship will shudder. For a moment, the ship will be in stays because the captain is trying to catch the correct wind. And there may be something of a north wind, but then there can also be somewhat of a south wind. And there may be a little bit of an east wind, but then comes a gust of the west wind. And so for just a moment, amen, the tackling of the ship is in stays until the captain and the helmsman gets the sail set right and determines which way the ship will run. My friend, I know you can stand there, and I can make excuse also and say this wind of adversity is blowing, and this wind of hardship has come, and this wind of difficulty blows. But may I say with the poet, 'tis not the gale, but the set of the sail. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not necessarily the wind that blows, but it's how I set my sail and how I determine that irregardless of how the wind blows and how the waves may try to drive me, I'm not going to be double-minded. I'm not going to be double-minded, but I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to have faith, and I'm not going to be tossed and driven. You see, there must be in your life and mine a faith that never wavers, because flesh and fear will never win. I won't take time to go into it, but I preached to you some time ago about how when faith falters, and we remember the allegory there in Galatians 4 in regard to Sarah and Hagar and Isaac and Ishmael, and how that the son of the bondwoman had to be cast out because the son of the bondwoman was the enemy of the free. Hallelujah. There was a constant struggle, and there was forevermore enmity between the two. You and I, we face that in our Christian life. Amen. Oh, Ishmael would like to rear his head. Oh, Ishmael would like to rise up and mock and scoff. Amen. At the seed of the promise. But we must cast out the Ishmael. Hallelujah. We must cast out the Ishmael of our life. Very simply, amen. You see, Ishmael was the child of flesh. Isaac was the child of faith. You gonna help me while I preach? Ishmael was the child of the flesh, but Isaac was the child of faith. Amen. My friend, you and I cannot please God as long as we're living after the flesh. When you're double-minded in your ambitions, when you're double-minded in your aspirations, when one day you're after the flesh, and then the next day you're after God, one day you feed the flesh, one day you're in front of the television, enjoying all that rock, garbage, puke, you're gonna shout amen, and then you go to the Word of God, but you can't find nothing there. Amen. You go to the Word of God, but it is not food, it is not life, it is not strength, because my friend, you cannot feed the flesh, and then turn right around and feed the spiritual man also. And I want to say that I don't know what specious temptation, what specific area it is that hell is making inroads in your life. But young people, I want you to hear, Brother Shad. I want you to listen to me, young men. If it's taking away your Bible reading, and if it's taking away your prayer, and you sense that it's drawing you away from God, you better let it alone. I said, you better shut that idiot box off. You better get away from that game. Hey, man, I tell you what, I am almost to the point of just throwing a cat hopping fit. I'm gagging, puking, sick. Hey, man, my phone has rang off the hook in the past 3 months. I could name you of marriage after marriage that is on the rocks. I sat down just last night and began to think of the homes I know that are in trouble. Amen. Of the ministers I know that are in trouble. Amen. Because of the abuse. Amen. Because of the abuse. Amen. To the VCR and to the internet and all of these things. Amen. People have made a god of these things. And somebody wants to get offended at me. Amen. When I take a stand against those things. But I tell you what it's done. It's brought idolatry right into our house. Amen. People can sit in front of that thing and while away hour after hour after hour, watch Hollywood right in their home, and then have no time for prayer. You may as well shout amen. Have no time for Bible reading. Until some time ago, a minister that I know well and you all know well, very well known, he come to me and he said, video games destroyed my son's marriage. And he said, it almost led to divorce. And he said, if we had not got my son out of the situation he was in, he would be divorced today. If somebody hadn't said, son, you are ruining your family. You are destroying a young marriage. You can get mad with the preacher today if you want to. Amen. But anything that comes between you and God is idolatry. Come on here now. I know that I've got a teenage son, and some of you do also. And I'm back on the same things. They are specious temptations that come to our children. Amen. While they're in those years. But somebody better take heed. And somebody better look at where you're going. You're fixing to run aground. I got a whole lot of preaching to do today, but I'm right here for a while. You're fixing to run aground. You listen to me, boys. Amen. Have you been praying like you should? Are you really living close to God like you need to? Or has something come in that has drawn you away from God? You're at that place where two seas meet. The cross currents of life have got your frail craft, and you're caught in between, and it's about to tear you to pieces. I'm preaching to you. You cannot live after the flesh and then come into the house of God and feel the Spirit of God, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You waver. You're tossed. You're driven from one thing to the next. Flesh never wins. Faith that never wavers. In the midst of temptation, in the midst of test and turmoil, hold steady and never get off course. That's what you must do, young man. That's good advice today. When you come to that place where two seas meet, hold steady, never get off course. I remember reading once of an ancient mariner who turned the wheel and the helm over to one of the mates of the ship. And this captain told this young seaman, said, you see that star? And he pointed to a bright beacon that glistened in the night sky. He said, hold steady to the star, Don't take your eyes off of it. Point the nose of this ship to the star. The young seaman said all went well for a while until he was distracted. And he looked this way and that, distracted for just a moment. And when he looked back up, much to his dismay, he couldn't find his star. So he looked and looked and looked. And after a while, he thought, well, surely that's it. But he didn't realize that he was turning the helm of the ship. He was turning the rudder just a little to line up with that star that he had fixed his gaze upon. Hours passed, and the captain returned to the helm of the ship. And the captain said, my, what have you done? And the young man did not want to confess his error. And however, the captain said, you've done something wrong, because we were headed to the north and now we're going to the south. You see, he had lost his star and now he was going in the wrong direction. I want to ask somebody here tonight, well, today, would you be honest with Brother Shad? Have you lost your star? At one time, the bright and the morning star, it meant everything to you. At one time, God was the focus. He was the very center of your life. Everything revolved around Him. But now you're at that place. Does anybody feel the burden I feel here this morning? You're caught between two worlds. You're caught between two minds. You're caught between two thoughts. You're caught between two ideas. And then you're at that place, young man, of where you're weighing it out. It's up in the balance. Am I going to serve God? Am I going to be holy? Am I going to live right? Am I going to deny the world? Or rather, are you going to turn from that star and follow after the flesh? Are you going to turn from that star and follow after the things of this world? Caught in that place where two seas meet. The dilemma of the unstable. What unrest. How unhappy. Can there ever be peace to that person that is of a double mind? Can there be any peace to that person who, when they come to the house of God, they feel after the Lord, they feel after the things of God, and God stirs them, and they're drawn back to conviction, and they're drawn back to faith. But when they go out the door, they're back to that same old station on the radio dial. They're back to that same old former lust and that same old pleasure. That double-minded man, that man that is of two minds. Jesus said, ye cannot serve God and mammon. He went on to say that ye cannot serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other. You hear what I'm saying? Somebody here in this house today, you're at that place where two seas meet, and you're double-minded in your thought processes. You've got misgivings in your heart. Amen. You just seem to have come to that place. You thought you were sure. You were resolute. It was all made up. But now you're at that place of where two seas meet, and the cross currents of life are about to tear your soul to pieces. What you need to do is come back to God and make up your mind. You're going to live holy, young man. I said, make up your mind, young lady. You're going to sell out to God, Mom and Dad, no matter what. Lock, stock, and barrel. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm not going to be drawn in two directions at once. Are you there today? Unstable in your mind? At a place where two seas meet. God is dealing with you this way. But then the world is dealing with you another way.